This episode of HPC Wire Soundbite is brought to you by ISC 12, the premier conference for driving innovation, information, and discussion about high-performance computing, networking, storage, and more. Join the global HPC community June 17th through the 21st in Hamburg, Germany. www.isc12.org.
This is HPC Wire Soundbite, your weekly source of commentary and insight on the HPC stories shaping the industry, with Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire, and Addison Snell, CEO of Intersect 360 Research. And now, here are your hosts, Michael Feldman and Addison Snell.
HP downsizes.
And Fujitsu gears up for growth.
Hello, everyone, and good morning for HPC Wire Soundbite for May 25th, 2012, available every Friday on iTunes and Stitcher. I'm Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire, and I'm joined by Addison Snell, CEO of Intersect 360 Research. Hey, good morning, Addison.
Good morning, Michael. How are you today?
Good, good. It's nice to be back at home after a long stay in San Jose. You did some travel, and we'll get to that in just a little bit. But first, there was kind of some big news about one of the big HPC players in the business.
Yeah, well, HP, we knew as of last week, had some layoff announcements coming, and this week they detailed those plans.
Yeah, they announced they're gonna cut 27,000 workers from the payroll over the next couple of years as part of a big restructuring. That's like, I think that's about 8%, near 8% of the workforce. I think they've got 340 or 50,000 people total, so that's a big chunk of people they're going to have to get rid of over the next couple of years, and it went along with some restructuring plans that they went into a little bit, but they didn't fully scope out.
Yeah, so, well, you pointed out it's not like they laid off 27,000 people all on Wednesday, right? This is a restructuring, as you pointed out, that's going to last over several years, and Meg Whitman was kind of laying out those plans. Now, of immediate concern to us is what does it mean for HPC, and we've both heard back from some of the HPC people there, and it's good news. Seems like the HPC crew is still intact.
Yeah, for the time being, there's nothing going on there. I mean, the way they sort of position these layoffs is they're going to happen across the company. They're not going to necessarily be in one specific area, but I don't think they've even decided on, you know, how they're going to spread those out exactly. So, I mean, down the road, we could have some impact in the HPC or the broader server area, certainly. But as for now, there's nothing going on. And really, they're looking to sort of shave off some of the areas that aren't growing well. Now, as far as I can tell, the right. HPC area in HP is probably considered a growth market for them to some extent.
Well, and HP has been doing quite well in HPC. I mean, when Sun started exiting the market, HP picked up a lot of that share, and they were growing. In our surveys, we're seeing them come up more often. This is certainly a growth area for HP. It's been my impression that a lot of their trouble has been at the low end of the market, where they compete in PCs and printers and things like that. PCs in particular have really been encroached on by tablets, which is not a part of the market HP has had a piece of.
Right. I mean, in the last quarter, their PC business actually didn't do too badly, but right, in general, over the past few years, that area of the market's been cut into. And in fact, their HP itself actually announced that recently they're sort of getting back into tablets just to sort of bolster that, although they've tried that once before, it didn't work out. They want to get back into that market. I mean, the big thing about HP that I sort of wrote about in this piece, I mean, they're doing this restructuring, and they picked out certain areas they want to really restructure rather severely, and basically their enterprise services business. But to me, the bigger problem is they're sort of a systems company, but they're in two ends of the market, the consumer end and the enterprise end. And that's a really tough thing to be in when you're a company that doesn't have like these separate divisions like it does. You know, they've got one CEO at the top, one corporate leadership who sort of oversees everything from tablets to supercomputers, and that's really tough to do. And no other company really does it like this. So to me, it's like this restructuring is going to do certain things and bolster certain areas. But to me, HP sort of has a little bit of an identity problem here and what kind of company it wants to be.
Well, I think it's even more than just the different hardware pieces that you're looking at. If you go back to when HP was doing its acquisitions of not only Compaq, but more particularly EDS, right, that HP has had a vision of becoming more of a services company like IBM, which does an enormous amount of its business in services. IBM likes to think of itself as a services and solutions company, as you know, even more so than being an IT and computer company, and has been very successful with that. So HP hasn't really made that transition in people's minds yet. Here we're listing off all of the businesses that they're in, and services didn't make your list.
Right, but in the enterprise space, I mean, you can do that. You can wrap your services around the systems that you sell. That's sort of a good synergy there. HP can do that. I mean, EDS wasn't probably the solution they wanted. It sounded like that was sort of a low margin services business, and they want to get into the lower volume, higher margin business there to make that profitable. But they can do that. But you can't wrap that kind of services company around a tablet or a consumer line or ink, you know, printer ink cartridges, which is the other line of business they do. So that's the part that I think they quite haven't wrapped their minds around yet. I mean, we saw IBM several years ago, they jettisoned their PC business.
Yeah, IBM has divested a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, they sold to Lenovo. They realized they were an enterprise company. They were services and systems. Apple used to be into servers to some degree, but they don't do that anymore. They're a consumer IT company. They sell high margin consumer products. So HP doesn't really fit on either side of those. Now they want to do both those. And I think that's sort of an overarching problem for them.
Well, and you also mentioned, Michael, that they've had a couple of different chief executives over the last couple of years, so you're trying to continue these strategies. They got their last CEO from eBay, right?
Right, Meg Whitman, right. Right, she was talking about this, the whole restructuring. But yeah, I mean, they've gone through, I think, three over the past couple of years, which actually is a little bit of a departure for them. Usually they've been much more consistent. But yeah, recently it's been a lot of turmoil there at the top. And I think, some of that's being reflected in sort of the direction they've gone in a few different ways. I know the former CEOs, they had different thoughts about the PC business. At one point they were thinking they would jettison that and spin that out. Now Meg Whitman I think she wants to keep that. That's a big part of their business. It's not as easy as when IBM sold their PC business to Lenovo. I mean, their PC and printer business is a huge revenue generation for them. It's billions, tens of billions, or $10 billion business right now for them.
So, meanwhile, Ginni Rometty, the CEO of IBM, made Time Magazine's list of 100 most influential people in the world. So, it's a little different profile again for IBM versus HP.
Yeah, I mean, those two, they go head-to-head. Certainly in HPC, they're going head-to-head. And, I think, if right now HP has to sort of fight on two fronts. I mean, they have to go against the Ciscos and the IBMs of the world, and at the other end, they got to go against Samsungs and Apples and everybody else. So it's a tough road for them if they want to keep being everything for everybody here.
Well, let me ask you this. So Meg Whitman started the CEO of HP after her unsuccessful bid to become governor of California. Which is more difficult to govern, Michael, the state of California or HP?
I think that's a toss-up right there. I think they're both too big to actually govern effectively at this point. Now, California doesn't have any choice. It can't divest itself of Southern California or the Central Valley or spin out, the Redwood Empire. But, here she has a little more leeway. I mean, they can make that decision at some point. I think down the road they probably will. But
Let me say this. I think this restructuring is quite necessary, and Meg Whitman's doing the right things here. Furthermore, I don't think this is bad news for the HPC business in the short term. If anything, helps them focus on some of the areas that they want to invest in for growth. So, while we're here talking about the challenges of running a company that's in so many lines of business, I have to say fundamentally, I think this is the right thing for them to be doing. And I don't think it's bad news for the HPC business.
Yeah, I think that's a theoretical possibility that it won't be bad. I mean, we don't know where that money is going to be invested yet. There's supposedly they're going to generate something between $3 and $3.5 billion in savings per year once all the layoffs are basically done in 2014. And that's a lot of money. And they said they want to plow the majority of that back into R&D and investments in the company rather than the bottom line. So some of that, you know, you're right, it could end up, you know, bolstering the HPC business if they consider that part of one of their growth focus areas. I mean, they talked about big data, cloud, security, some of the other things they're into now they want to sort of double down on. No specific mention was made of HPC, but that certainly could be a beneficiary if that investment happens.
Yep. Well, why don't we take a quick break and then we'll come back. We'll talk about another company in the HPC space.
ISC 12 unites the global HPC community for information sharing, discussion, and collaboration for advancing scientific discovery and high-performance applications. Join over 2,400 attendees from academia, research, and industry to take advantage of a wide range of hot topics and in-depth sessions throughout the 5-day technical program led by HPC's leading experts. You won't want to miss 4 compelling keynotes exploring the top 500 or learning about key topics facing the industry today. Exascale, energy efficiency, cloud, or big data. Join networking sessions with like-minded researchers, scientists, and vendors to exchange information, shape collaborations, and build new strategic partnerships. ISC 12 also features over 170 leading solutions providers and research organizations showcasing the newest technologies and research. Visit www.isc12.org for the full agenda.
Okay, we just talked about one of the bigger companies in IT, but Addison, you had a recent trip down to Tokyo, and you talked to another big company sort of on the other side of the Pacific that is, I think, at least as big as HP and is, at least has its fingers in as many parts of the pie.
Yeah, well, I was overdue for a visit to Fujitsu and was glad to go in and visit for a day this week. It was just a quick, easy trip over to Tokyo for a meeting with Fujitsu. But yeah, it's a big company. It's a $54, $55 billion company with 172,000 employees. You know, most of that, the majority of that is in Japan, but they're trying to expand, including in their HPC business, out into other areas. Now, they're not as big as HP within the HPC market, but they are as big as Cray, or at least very close to it if you count all products and not just servers. Fujitsu's probably in the $400 million of revenue range if you look at servers and storage and services in the HPC space. So, you know, they're a pretty sizable company. And also, by the way, the company behind the K computer at Riken, which still ranks as the number one most powerful supercomputer in the world.
Right, right. And we've certainly covered that in the past. It's easy to forget sort of how big they are in HPC. And when you say they, you know, they basically match Cray, you know, dollar for dollar. I mean, they don't have the profile quite until actually they announced the K system. Now they've got a lot more profile. But yeah, I mean, they've got a lot of systems. Certainly in Japan, they're a big company for that. They just announced 2 systems of their new, you know, Prime HPC FX10 system, which is sort of their follow-on to their K architecture. One was going into Kyushu University. They just ordered that a little while ago. And then the one we've covered at the University of Tokyo, that's a petaflop system. And they're looking to sell a lot more of those. I think they want to sell 50 of those systems over the next 3 years, and not all in Japan. They're looking into Europe and Latin America to sell some of those systems.
That's right. So this is a company that has a big profile in Japan and is trying to expand their global HPC office under Tamura now is in Munich. So they're certainly looking to expand their EMEA presence, as you're pointing out. And with the Prime HPC FX10, which is the commercialized version of the K architecture with the Tofu interconnect, they're looking to sell a lot of these systems in the several petaflop range and position that up above their x86 platform, which is the Primergy.
Right. That's a tough road, though. 50 systems over 3 years, and not all in Japan. I mean, they've got their work cut out for them. I think they've got two that we know of, at least, and there might be some others in the pipeline. But that's basically one a month for a while, and it's not a, you know, it's not a commodity system. It's not an x86 system. That's based on their Spark 64 technology.
So right.
That they've got to sell that idea that. You know, those applications that everybody's using can port there easily. I mean, it's a Linux system, obviously, so that's not the problem. But
it's Linux system, and it's got the Fujitsu exabyte file system, FEFS, which is based on Lustre. So it's Linux, it's Lustre, but it is the Spark 64 nines, as you pointed out, which is 16 core Spark 64s, 236 gigaflops per CPU, 4 CPUs per board, and the Tofu interconnect, which scales from 4 racks up to 1,000 racks, which is eventually 98,000 nodes or up to 23 petaflops.
Yeah, 23 petaflops, which is quite impressive. Now, I guess the pitch here may be if you're selling petaflop systems against all the other petaflop type systems out there, the Blue Jeans and the Crays and the clusters with GPU acceleration, this is basically a high performance, low power system. I mean, it's very power efficient, but it's all CPU, so you don't have the complication of the hybrid architecture.
That's right.
And it's mature technology. There's, you know, like you said, there's the Lustre, and there's a whole software stack that Fujitsu maintains for that system. But still, it's a little bit more exotic than a lot of customers are used to, and yet I think it's definitely an interesting architecture. I think it would be something that certain organizations would be interested in, because a lot of people are reticent about going the hybrid way right now for various reasons.
Well, you could make the same argument about BlueJean, for example. And IBM's been very successful with BlueJean. It's a different sort of architecture. It's high-end, very scalable, but it doesn't rely on the accelerators. And I think Fujitsu is going to try to compete in much the same way with the Prime HPC FX10, while for the volume part of the business, doing their Primer GX86 line. And by the way, they're also trying to grow their technical computing cloud.
Right, all those things. Right, I mean, we sort of forget about the Primer G systems. Right, those are the x86 more commodity systems that go up against just regular x86 clusters. But right, there's a choice there, and I think Fujitsu is sort of retooling for that. It looks like we said, right now it's Europe. They've targeted Latin America to some extent, but I wouldn't be surprised if they, you know, get some traction here. They'll go after, you know, the larger Asian market and even the U.S. maybe.
Well, it could be U.S. and China further down the road, but for the time being, trying to concentrate on areas where they're competing on neutral footing against U.S. or Chinese vendors. It's hard to come into the U.S. market against the American vendors or the Chinese market against the Chinese vendors.
Yeah, exactly.
Within Europe, you've got Bull to compete with, of course, but not as rich a space of European vendors as you would have going into the U.S. And it's interesting also, we were talking about HP with all these different lines of business. Fujitsu, kind of a lot of the same thing with Fujitsu and Siemens and a lot of these wholly owned subsidiaries. Fujitsu is in the PC business. They're in the mobile business. They got phones. They've got devices. They've got all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, that's true. It's sort of run a little differently than under sort of one monolithic leadership. Those are subsidiaries, they're sort of independent businesses under the broad corporate umbrella there. But yeah, that's a good point. They're relatively successful to one degree or another in all those areas, but sort of a different structure and different way they've run those companies.
Let's ask this question, Michael, because there's one immediate question that concerns Fujitsu in the very near future, which is when we get to ISC in 3 weeks.
3 weeks, just, yeah.
3 weeks and a couple of days. Is the K computer still rank as the number one system? They're two in a row now. Are they going to make it three? They haven't upgraded it since the last time.
Right, I think that's the final system. I'm guessing it will be the number one system on this year's or this June's top 500 list, unless there's another surprise. But I haven't heard of anybody moving their plans forward for these double-digit petaflop systems. There could always be a surprise from the Chinese or IBM or somebody else, but failing that, I think they're going to retain their crown.
We got 5-10 petaflop systems in the works in the U.S., right? With Sequoia, Titan, Blue Water, Stampede, and what's the other one called?
Mira. At Argonne, right.
At Argonne. But I don't think any of those are online to the extent yet. They're mostly all late this year kind of thing. If any of them is out there, maybe Sequoia, if they could sneak something in there. Do they have half of that system installed? Could they claim a number one spot? It's the sort of thing IBM might be able to pull off, but I haven't heard any rumors that they've installed anything like 10 petaflops yet.
Yeah, I don't know where that installation is. I know they started to deploy some of the Blue Waters and Titan, but those are all going to be staged. Yeah,
I don't think Titan's up. I don't think Blue Waters is up. Stampede is not.
Nope.
So, and the Mira system I don't think is close enough. There's the Russian system that's coming, but I don't think that one's there yet, the follow-on to Lomonosov. So, again, unless, as you pointed out, the Chinese have a surprise, Riken could hold on again as the third number one. I would say the most likely to unseat it might be Sequoia, but it would have to be a pretty well-kept secret.
It would be, yeah. Yeah, I think the big change is going to come probably in the November list, where some of these systems, not all of them, but some of them will be deployed and we'll have LIMPAC benchmarks for them. But yeah, this one.
Yeah, it would be something if you saw Riken still as number one in June and then not in the top five come November.
Yeah, that would be a coup. Yeah, but we're definitely looking forward to that, regardless of top 500. It's going to be a lot of activity at ISC, certainly Fujitsu, HP, all the companies we've talked about over the past few weeks are going to be there. And I know there's going to be some interesting developments that we actually can't talk about yet, but are up and coming.
Excellent. Well, I'm looking forward to it as always.
Okay. Well, we'll talk to you again next week then, Addison.
All right. Thanks a lot, Michael. Have a good Memorial Day weekend.
You too.
This episode of HPC Wire Soundbite has been sponsored by ISC 12, the 27th International Supercomputing Conference. Come and join 2,400 members of the HPC community from June 17th through the 21st in Hamburg, Germany. Visit www.isc12.org.
You've been listening to HPC Wire Soundbite with Michael Feldman and Addison Snell. Got a question or comment for Michael or Addison? Email soundbite@hpcwire.com. HPC Wire Soundbite is available every Friday afternoon from iTunes or at hpcwire.com. HPC Wire, the leading source for global news and information covering the ecosystem of high productivity computing.